You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids, look up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic book box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
How's the fam doing today?
Good. Not bad. You know.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful day today. Yep. Hey, I brought some comics, but I feel like I didn't need to.
Well, we've got, an hour-long Doctor Who discussion?
Yeah.
I think that's possibly what might just happen.
Well, how about we talk about some comics first and then go into Doctor Who?
I don't know, whatever you guys want to do.
I tried to segue by saying the word fam.
Oh, okay.
That was a segue.
All right, go.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We got lots of time.
Segue to fam?
You know, because she calls her companions her fam instead of her companions. So
I missed that part.
Apparently a couple of her fam won't be around for much longer.
No idea.
From what I'm reading.
Maybe.
Maybe.
No idea.
Just like most of her viewers.
This sounds like you just want to go right into it.
No, I can't, but I had to. Chris lobbed that towards me and I had to take a swing. So
yeah. Swing away.
So Mr. Tony White, are you prepared for a 60-minute Doctor Who conversation?
So we've got as Adam mentioned at the end of last episode, we have a Twitter account now.
I had to sign back up for Twitter just now in the kitchen. I guess my Twitter account had expired because I kind of canceled it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It let me reuse all my old username and password, but I'm now following two people and nobody's following me. So something got reset.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at Hey Kids Comics Radio CA, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hey Kids Comics Radio Radio CA. Yes, because there's, you know, other people using the same name because we were not smart.
Because we weren't very original.
We were not.
But yes, we've got the Twitter going there, and I got brought into a Twitter discussion between Adam, who is running.
Whoa. This is Twitter we're talking about. There is no such thing as a Twitter discussion.
We're
in part of a Twitter argument.
There is a Twitter discussion if you're all friends.
The debate, a very angry debate.
No, and yeah, because Tony White had was gently prodding us for talking about Doctor Who for like 26 minutes last episode.
Oh, are you in for a treat there, buddy?
Yeah. I promise, Tony, I'm not trolling you this week, even though I'm wearing a Doctor Who sweater with a Doctor Who t-shirt underneath.
Yeah. He's not giving up yet, folks. It's a hard battle, but...
Yeah, okay, and that's the thing. That's the thing, okay? You know what? Disclaimer. Every opinion I state, everything that I say that I don't like about the show, I am still going to watch every episode. I'm not one of those bitter old angry, you know, 50-year-old
hey
British
okay
British white guys who are tuning out and going like, this is they've ruined it, blah blah, you know.
What is the name of that guy on YouTube that we looked at for a few seconds?
I don't know, but he I mean, he's kind of worth watching just for a kick.
Wow, he's impressive.
He had the word heel in his name. I can't remember, but
he was impressive.
Right after we finished the episode, we checked out checked out YouTube to see if there was any reaction videos, and what the guy was holding a title card that says Chibnall killed Doctor Who.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
We watched like maybe 3 minutes of it because this guy was just shouting expletives into the microphone.
Yeah. So, heel versus babyface.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's him. That's him for sure.
I couldn't make it through the hour long rant that he had.
And I mean, I guess we can't really say anything yet because I don't know how long we're going to rant.
Yes,
but an hour is a long time to rant on the subject.
Shh, that's peanuts. We can do better.
All right, cancel who's on after us. We're going for the all night record here.
That's right.
So
we could do it.
Yeah, bring us some quick. Need a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think we
got some complaining to do.
I think we can manage it.
Put on my complaining pants and get started.
Complaining pants.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get
into... instead of just like beating around the bush, you might as well just get it over with.
Sure.
Yeah, so the Doctor Who finale aired...
On Sunday,
the one where the Master leads into it by saying, "Everything you know is going to change."
What was the name of the show title?
The Timeless Children. Was the name of this episode.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was an episode.
It was. That changed everything.
That changed everything. So if you haven't seen it and you would like to not be spoiled and you haven't been spoiled by the millions of spoilers, this is your chance to tune out right now.
Go.
Come back around the 59-minute mark.
Go listen to a YouTube video on how to... trim hoofs.
There you go.
The Hoof GP. I highly recommend them.
Anyway, and so the Master reveals to the Doctor that many, 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 eons ago, a child was found at a rift in space by an explorer, and this child was brought back to Gallifrey, and the child died and regenerated, and that was the first regeneration ever on Gallifrey. And the scientist the explorer that found this child spent many, many, many years and many lives of the child trying to figure out how the child regenerated until they finally discovered the secret of regeneration and took that secret and gave it to all of the Shibogans, which was the name that they had given. I'm not sure if that was a name that has ever been referenced in Who lore before.
I've never really heard of it, no.
I've never heard of it either, but I mean, it might have been mentioned in passing or something.
So that's like saying Homo sapiens or humans are the Earthlings, right? So these Shibogans are the Gallifreyans?
Yes, they were from Gallifrey.
Yeah.
But so. They became Time Lords once they got the power of regeneration. But that child that gave them the power first, and the greatest thing to ever happen to the Time Lords was, of course, the Doctor themselves.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I guess...
So, the first Doctor is no longer the first Doctor.
He's not even the first 100th Doctor, probably.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, the immediate question that popped into my head when I saw this episode was...
Why?
They had... Well, yeah, okay.
What?
No. To be honest with you, it didn't, because I kind of know why. You know, it was a brave and courageous choice to retcon Doctor Who into... you know, so that...
sorry, you're... The, it was a brave, the TARDIS translation circuit is messing up your words.
It was a brave and courageous choice... to, how should we say, in a radio safe way, Sheboygan the entire plotline, storyline. But, like, so, because I watched Doctor Who, but I don't have the same encyclopedic knowledge of each episode like you guys do, but the regeneration cycle got messed up, and the Time Lords awarded... the Doctor a fresh new regeneration cycle
during one of Matt Smith's final episodes.
So one can derive from this that they didn't actually give him another time cycle. He always had that cycle, they just lied to him and said, oh, you know that thing we kind of said to you about 12 and then we wipe your brain? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to do that this time. And you can have 12 extra. And then we're going to wipe your brain so you don't remember.
But so they've never in WHO history have they been like, you get 12 and then your brain's wiped.
No, they just said you get 12 and then
that's it.
That's it. But they don't explain what happens. I don't think they've ever said, well, then you die.
I feel like it was implied that you would become like a normal human and die when you die.
My dad implied the tooth fairy was real, and my dad implied that he liked me, and and you know, implied that Santa Claus existed, but
and all of those things are real if you're a younger viewer listening to this episode.
The Easter Bunny is a fraud. And not made out of chocolate. I was very disappointed to find that out. I mean, that's what I guess. I don't know. Are we surprised?
A little.
In today's day and age, are we really surprised that somebody decided that, you know, we have to screw with absolutely everything that you knew as opposed to just create something original? We have to screw with what you love and what you Wally West. I mean, sorry, that slipped out. What you cared about?
See, like the problem that I have is that there was no point to it. Like this, in 2 years, this will be back to being completely forgotten. Hey, did you guys know the Doctor is half human? Because that was a thing. The Paul McGann TV movie, he finds out that he's half human. And how often has that been mentioned?
Yeah, but, you know, realistically, how many people really honestly feel that movie's canon? I know it's supposed to be because it showed a regeneration.
Well, it's canon because Paul McGann has been in the new series.
Like, how many people kind of asterisk it and go, yeah, well, that was the movie. That was the American movie. We kind of have to live with it. Because we kind of put a regeneration in there that, I mean, who gets excited about the Doctor Who movie?
I didn't even know there was one until last week.
I got excited until I watched it.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, I can't fault you for that. It was a TV movie, right?
It was co-produced with Fox, I believe, and the BBC.
Yeah, just an attempt to kind of make an American version of Doctor Who that didn't go anywhere.
Little did they know that Stephen Moffat would make the American version of Doctor Who in, you know, 2011 or whenever Stephen Moffat took over. So,
but was he involved in that?
No.
In the movie?
No, not at all. Oh. I'm just saying, like, Matt Smith's Doctor Who is a very Americanized version of the show compared to David Tennant's.
And was in America a few times.
And you know what? Stephen Moffat is that's exactly how you do something stupid. You kill the Doctor in the first episode of the season, and then you just say it was all a clone in the last episode. Mm-hmm. So people are like, okay, that's stupid, but at least nothing's changed. Chris Chibnall, that's how you're supposed to do this.
It could be worse. I mean, at the end of the next season, Doctor could come out of the shower and we realize it was all a dream.
Or it is the Master. He could have made the whole thing up.
But you guys don't remember that.
No.
Of course.
Bobby Ewing,
I don't have to
Dallas.
Remember.
Yes.
That's one of the most iconic moments in TV show history.
There you go.
So.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm kind of a little burnt out on giving a shit because they've been doing this kind of crap over and over again over the past few years. And it's just been made abundantly clear that I'm no longer a target demographic. So nobody really cares what I think.
Shouldn't the target demographic be people who want to watch a good story?
No, it's the target demographic is the people who are willing to pay the advertising, licensing fees, streaming services, pony up the cash to actually pay for this. That's the target demographic. It always has been with television programming, right?
Money, money, money.
You know, it's all about the money. Now, the fact that they're not getting any of the money because the ratings are dropping like crazy on this particular season. Like every single episode has been less than the other one, hasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
If you look at the consolidated numbers from the UK.
Pretty much. And like if we want to talk about the numbers, for the finale itself, the program before it had like 4.4 million viewers. The program after it had 4.4 million viewers, and Doctor Who had like about 3.7. So
what's the population of England anyways?
I don't know.
Is it like Canada, somewhere around the 30s, or is it like 60? I felt like 60, but I know it's nowhere near the U.S.
But so the people actively tuned out of Doctor Who to watch something else and then came back afterwards.
Now, there was a drop in ratings for 60, was it 66?
66 million.
66.5 million Brits. So 3 million out of 66.5, that's more respectable than if it was 3 million out of 300 million in the States, but it's still a drop, like you said.
And not to mention, like, I don't know how many, see, it used to be that there was only two or three channels that people, like, are included with your TV licensing fee or whatever the British people pay.
A lot of people say that. However, a lot of fewer people were watching TV back then. Right?
Yeah.
Like, how many people were glued to their devices like they are now with, like, I don't know how many streaming services I have and password sharing with my kids and stuff. One of my kids just asked me for my Amazon Prime password and username so that they can watch Hunters. Like, I don't know. It's just... I don't know what else to say because nobody's going to listen to me. Nobody's going to change it. You know, I can fetch here on Peterborough Radio if I want, but nobody's going to change it. So.
But like, is this, okay, we're losing focus on what was wrong with the episode.
Okay, well, let's go through the details of the episode. Sure.
Well, so basically they've made the Doctor the most important figure in the history of Gallifrey.
Right.
They've made,
as opposed to my feeling of the Doctor was he was the least important / most notorious / rebel kind of guy.
I was watching a good YouTube video, not the crazy yelly guy, but a different...
the crazy yelly guy made a brave and courageous choice.
A different person who said, you know, basically what they've done with this is changed the Doctor from being the outsider who doesn't fit into their society and who is making this decision to go help people rather than just let time happen. Like, cause Time Lords, you don't interfere. You can't change 1 minute of the past. That was their rule. And the Doctor never saw eye to eye with them, fought them, did everything he could to help and save people. And you've ruined all of that by saying, now this is actually a completely different species than you. Therefore, the Doctor isn't an outsider in his society. He's just an outsider.
Well, he is an outsider. Like you said, I mean, he's still an outsider. He's still a rebel rebelling against this society that he's in. Like, if you think about it, like as far as immigration goes, right? Just because you were born in a different country doesn't mean that you living in Canada don't affect Canadian society and don't want to change Canadian society. So just because she was born in some kind of a rift.
We don't even know that.
And found on the planet or she was, wherever she was born and ended up in this rift, or whether she was placed in this rift on purpose so the Gallifreyans would find them.
Probably by a future incarnation of the Doctor.
Like, absolutely.
That seems like the kind of stupid thing they're going to do.
Absolutely. I mean, they could turn this into a loop somehow that's the case, but I don't know. It just
they've made the Doctor so important that they're no longer important to Gallifrey. Like, the Doctor has no connection to Gallifrey.
Sure he does. He was raised there.
But
multiple generations. Like,
Multiple. And let's just talk for a second about the fact that the Shibogan scientist probably killed multiple incarnations of the child trying to find this. Like,
isn't that slightly in keeping with the cold scientific nature of Time Lords?
Sure. You know what I think would have been a better story?
Oh, gosh. No, don't get me wrong. Anything would have been a better story. Anything. I'm sure whatever you come up with right now, even if it's off the cuff, something you just thought of while pooping on the toilet, is going to be way better than
that's
this.
That's where the best ideas come from. As long as you're not looking into the toilet.
It's going to weigh way better than this. Don't think I'm defending this.
No.
I'm defeated by this. It happened. I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to cry in the closet a few times and, you know. PTSD.
Oh, look, Picard's on.
Yeah. Oh, look, Picard's on.
Move on to something.
You know, like, does it open doors to potentially newer, better stories?
No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. It opens the doors to garbage prequels.
Yeah, I'm thinking like comic books and books. And...
But not even that. Like, just garbage. Like, yeah. Anyways, I think it would have been a better twist for it to have been the master that came through the rift and that he perverted Gallifrey with his evil, and that's what made them into the Time Lords, into this uncaring, almost, because they're an almost evil society with their level of uncaring, you know? And I think that would have been a more interesting story.
Now, those of you unfamiliar with the episode, there was a moment there where the master... calls the Cybermen. Are they Cybermen? Or are they kind of like weirdo Cybermen? Because then the guy with the half Cyberman mask, didn't he say he kind of killed the biological part?
No, he said they were going to become full robot. That was their next.
Because I thought that, like, when he pulled them out of when the Cybermen were in their little hibernation chambers, and forgive me, I fell asleep during the episode repeatedly, not because of the episode, but because I was
or
just
maybe
really
because
tired.
Because of the episode.
Yeah, it could be. There wasn't enough boobs and guns and lasers.
But when they were in the hibernation chamber,
right, they did something with some kind of a drill type thing, and they did something. And I swear I heard the cyber guy saying that when the doctor was saying something about, well, you know, you want to get rid of the biological part, but yet you are part of the biological part, and he responded with, well, my followers or my cyber squad or whatever, I've destroyed the biological part of them, and they are pure androids.
I think you were dreaming.
Could be.
Because he had said that the next progression would be to be full robot, and the master made fun of him for it.
His plan was to release that
death particle. The death particle.
And wipe out anything organic. Inside the Cybermen.
So inside the universe, the entire universe,
yeah.
Right. So when he brought back the Cybermen into Gallifrey, I honestly thought, for some reason, it flashed in my head that the big corruption of the Doctor Who lore was that these Cybermen were somehow going to be converted and twisted and warped into Daleks. Hmm. I thought this was like a way of screwing up the Dalek thing. Because the master kept going, oh, I'm going to make you better. I'm going to make you more this. I'm going to make you that. And the biological component, we're going to make you this. And I figured they would have taken like there's just the lumpy body brain part out of the Cybermen and throw it into a Dalek. And this would be the new Daleks. But instead we got them funkin' grooving.
Time Lord Cybermen, which I did think were pretty cool.
Cybermen, Time Lords with the big huge like, which I thought was always like that one time that one time I remember Tom Baker wearing the actual Gallifreyan outfit. Oh my gosh, that looked ridiculous.
Yeah,
that looked redonkulous. But I mean, it was kind of cool seeing Gallifreyan / Time Lordy Cybermen. But I don't know. I mean. I guess we'll see, right? They're going to continue this with is it not a Christmas episode, but a New Year's episode?
Well, they said, like, holiday season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, see, the thing is, like, this episode didn't answer a single question, except for who is the Joe Martin doctor.
That 100% struck me, because you were saying either last episode, and I was editing the show, or episode before that the nice thing about Doctor Who is they wrap up.
Yeah.
At the end of this most definitely didn't wrap shit up.
And in fact, they add a stupid cliffhanger, like a ridiculously stupid cliffhanger that didn't need to be there. Here's how this episode could have ended to make it better. The Doctor sacrifices herself to stop the Master, and there's a regeneration. That would have been great. Or one of the companions sacrifice themselves so the Doctor can escape. And then you have a regular ending. Not that some random character that you haven't heard of until last week comes in and sacrifices himself. And then the doctor gets stolen out of the TARDIS, which, you know, is supposed to be impregnable for people beaming in. She gets stolen out of the TARDIS and put into a Jadoon prison. That's the stupid icing on a stupid cake. Is my feeling on that?
How did they beam into the TARDIS? Yeah. Holy crap! Now that you mention that, it's like, what the? I don't know.
One of the reviews that I saw said half of this episode was great, and the other half had the Doctor.
Oh gosh!
Like the Cyberman story was fine, but the entire Doctor backstory was exposition over top of images.
Yeah.
Like we literally just got talked at for 30 minutes to tell a story. That's not good television. Like let's forget about whether or not the story's any good. Being talked at while something is happening on the screen is not good storytelling.
No, yeah, there's so much, like you said, there's so much.
It could have gone a lot different.
The whole first season could have gone different and better. The whole second season could have gone better. This finale could have gone better. Like, can we just, the three of us can definitely agree that Chibnall was not the man for this job.
The thing is that the season was getting better. Like, we all agree the season was better than last season general.
Yeah.
When they introduced the Cybermen a few episodes ago, it was a good episode. I didn't like last episode because I felt like the second to last episode, I felt it was very like formulaic and exactly what you would expect from a Cyberman story. And then this was just a continuation of that same thing.
Did they have the flying Cybermen drones and
something
else? Yes. Oh, I hated that.
The heads.
That was dumb.
And I don't know, like, I'm also, can we please just not have any more stories where it's like, these are the last seven humans that exist in the entire universe. Like, you have that every third season. How many last seven humans are there?
A lot.
You know? Like, and this is not even just something in New Who, but this has been done, you know, in classic Doctor Who. Not as often, but, you know, the remnants of society or whatever. But in New Who, it's ridiculous. So please, just stay away from the end of humanity as we know. First of all, I don't even care if it's the end of humanity. Like, look around. Look around. It could be the end of humanity right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Coronavirus tease.
Oh my gosh.
Someone said it.
So much coronavirus.
Anyways, nonsense. So how about, they had a sale on and I bought some good Doctor Who.
There we go.
Which is, Amazon had Doctor Who on sale, and I bought the Macra Terror, the animation of the Patrick Troughton episode. I'm sorry, guys, but I have to rant a little bit still.
No problem.
Because if you look at this, here's this Patrick Troughton DVD with the Jodie Whittaker Doctor Who logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't anywhere on there tell you which story number this is to put it. I had to look it up in a book to find out where this goes to put it in my DVD collection, because it doesn't say, you know, story number 22 or story, I think it's 34 or 35. So I have some major issues with the packaging, and because nobody who is into new Doctor Who, like the Jodie Whittaker seasons, is going to pick up a Patrick Troughton DVD and be like, this looks interesting.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a niche product. Can't you effing give us packaging aimed at us? You know, all of the other, everything except for the two newest animations comes in packaging that's the exact same. So when you put it on your shelf, all the logos line up and everything is great.
Did the BBC hire the DC Comics guy who's
probably
in charge of trade paperbacks and collected editions? Because that guy needs to be shot too. It's the same thing, like you said. I mean, all of a sudden, the trade dress completely changes so it doesn't fit. Yeah, that really is off that they would not use that Doctor's logo. That's like really off, because that's been sort of a calling card of each one of these discs, whether it's VHS tapes, audiobooks, shoot, even comic books, is always that you could identify which Doctor you were looking at simply from the logo, right? Because they kind of kept it the same. And that was the whole purpose to having a different logo every time a doctor regenerated. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our era. This is our doctor. This is the thing. So, yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. That's not the best.
Now, that'll be where I stop complaining because the actual contents are amazing.
Right.
I watched, this is a 4 episodes, 96 minutes, I think it comes in around, and I watched 2 episodes Wednesday night, 2 episodes last night, and it was fantastic. I've listened to the audio like once or twice, and it was a very boring audio because there's a lot happening. That's because it's about, you know, a monster sneaking through this colony and things, and you know, very boring to listen to. And then the monster snuck up behind Jamie. Is something there? I was practicing my British accent.
Yeah. No,
even though he's Scottish.
Now, why did the audio survive but not video?
The audio survived because of fan recordings.
Oh, okay.
Because of nerds like us. Mm-hmm. Nerds like us, people who cared too much about the show, recorded the audio and had that. So.
Right. So at home and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
They would record the audio off the TV.
They record off, but they...
Because we lived in an era of no reruns, right? Yeah. Where it was a one and done.
And this is...
So.
I remember that I did the same thing with the Donnie and Marie Star Wars episode. The Donnie and Marie show. I recorded that through the old reel-to-reel tape. So I gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. And that, of course, way before home video recording, so nobody had a videotape of it.
Yeah. Gotcha. And now there actually are some instances where fans use like a reel to reel or like an 8mm camera to tape the television.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they have some of the footage exists that way of some of them.
Yeah. Some reference shots and stuff.
They also have telesnaps where they would automatically take a snap every 7 seconds of this episode, I believe. So
now what, we saw a cartoon, right?
Power of the Daleks, which was Patrick Troughton's first episode.
How does this compare animation-wise? Same style, same kind of...
I think it's better. I think it's better. And there's a new one coming out, Faceless... Burn my fan card. I can't remember. The Faceless ones, maybe? And it's the story that follows this one. And it's coming out... It aired at a like special in Britain in the theaters and stuff because one of my British friends watched it and he said that it has the best animation yet. So
right on.
I'm excited for that. But this, I've been struggling with classic Doctor Who because my attention span has gotten worse and worse and worse.
What was that?
Yeah. But I put this on and like this, it grabbed me and I paid attention and I was excited because like, it made me feel like, okay, you know what? This is great. I do enjoy Doctor Who still. And Patrick Troughton is my favorite doctor. So, yeah. The Faceless ones, yes. Artwork to be determined.
So this thing's only $20 on...
Yeah, I picked it up for $20.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. And I would highly recommend it if you like classic Doctor Who. It was pretty fantastic. And Tony, you can stop the clock. We can talk about something else now.
Hold on, I have to add to cart.
Add to cart.
I also bought the complete David Tennant years on Blu-ray to get my entire new Who series collection on Blu-ray.
Right on.
So
that was a good price, that one, wasn't it?
That was $23 for
the holes. That's crazy.
Three seasons, yeah. The specials, and then some animated specials as well.
Yeah, you were saying they had some animated. Now, where were those animated specials aired originally?
I don't know. I don't. Maybe like BBC America, or else just in between other shows on the BBC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They weren't the highest quality like animations or stories, but
you must have because you are the Doctor Who guy. Done some of the audio adventures and stuff like that. So have you listened to any of that kind of stuff?
Is there I actually haven't listened to any of the like Big Finish audios. I know a lot of people who have, but I have listened to some of the missing episode audios, but yeah, haven't really listened to any of that newer jazz, even though the Humble Bundle right now is a bunch of Doctor Who audios and stuff. So I'm probably going to buy that, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says here on Amazon the David Tennant set is still $23.99 Canadian on Blu-ray, which is, like you said, a great price.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Okay, so projections on what's happening next season? Where this is all going?
No idea.
Where does something go when you flush it down the toilet?
Usually down the sewer, over to the treatment plant where it gets mixed in with the baby alligators and goldfish that people throw down the toilet, and then into the river and goes down to the...
And they become alligators.
Goes down to the city further down the lake where they have E. coli problems and they close all their beaches.
All right, so to the beach, I guess.
Lakefield in Peterborough. Let's go.
All right, let's talk some comics then.
Yeah.
Flash.
Oh, we're done?
Yep.
Hard stop.
Man. Hard stop.
That was only 36 minutes. We said hours. Okay, comic books. This is the Hey Kids Doctor Who show. I mean, comic show, so we might as well talk about comics a little bit, maybe. In my everlasting mental stupidity and inability to process rational thought, signed back up for The Flash. I don't understand why. I quit buying The Flash after...
Are you missing one issue? Is that all?
I ended up missing three.
Okay.
So it lasted a month and a half where I didn't buy Flash. Actually, it lasted longer. Okay, let me explain this. So I read Flash ever since Mark Waid... 1983, was it? 87? No, I think it was 83. Flash number one, where Wally West takes over after Crisis on Infinite Earths. Somewhere around there. 95, 93. Sorry, 85, 83. Somewhere around there. So I've been reading Flash ever since that point. Everything. All the reboots, all the rebirths. Wally West dying. What's his name? Impulse taking over as the Flash for a brief little mini six. I think it was a six issue miniseries there. And then New 52 and Rebirth. And I just didn't like the comic. I was just really hating it. And it was coming out twice a month. And I'm thinking I'd buy something else and stuff like this. And I'm looking at my list and I'm like, you know what? My list is super heavy of non-superhero comic books. I get Batman, Superman, Legion of Superheroes. That's it. So I thought maybe I'd add The Flash back in because I heard that they were going to do a little segment on bringing back Jay Garrick, Earth 2 Flash, Golden Age Flash. And I literally sat there in front of the computer for like a half hour going, add it? No. Don't, yeah, I'm going to add. No. Yeah. No. Okay, I'm going to. No. I must have typed the word The Flash seven times on the piece of paper. And finally I said, no, I'm not going to get it. Walk into Grey Guardian on Wednesday, and they're like, you like Flash? You want one of these 80-page giant Flash number 750s? And I'm like, shit.
You're a drug dealer.
So immediately I went to the shelf, and I'm like, hey, how much you want to bet these four issues of The Flash that you put up here on the rack were the ones you ordered in for me? And Alex's like, yep. So I pulled them off the rack, and I'm good. I'm all caught up, and I'm back into Flash. But this is Flash 750. How they came up with this numbering, I don't know. I hate legacy numbering. I think it's cheap and it doesn't make any sense. But apparently this is the 750th issue of Flash. It's Barry Allen. It's pretty darn good. It's got a bunch of different stories in it. And the Wally West story in the back is like, yeah, okay. This is the Generation 1 kind of rebootish thing.
Oh, he's becoming Dr. Manhattan or something.
He has the powers of Dr. Manhattan, but he's sitting in the Mobius chair. Mm. So he has Mobius's powers.
Does he have underwear on?
He's got underwear. Okay. Blue underwear. And so apparently he's going to reboot everything, and his costume is Wally West, but blue with the Dr. Manhattan symbol in the forehead sitting in the Mobius chair, and he's literally going to reboot the universe. And my name is Wally West. I'm the fastest man alive. I sit on the Mobius chair. The powers of a god races through me. So yeah, I got this. All right Wally, let's see how well you implement Dan DiDio's plan now that Dan's not around, and make sure it actually happens. Mm-hmm. So it was a good comic. I'm
prestige format. $8.
Well, it's not quite prestige. It is square bound, but the quality, like the paper quality, is not the same as it was in some prestiges. $7.99 US, so this probably cost me, what, $450 Canadian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back into the Flash. It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs.
But you read it and enjoyed it.
Yeah. I did. That's why I was like...
That's the difference.
But, you know, it's easy to make a one-off really good anniversary issue. You know, you pull out all the stops, you get the best artists. There's six... Well, no, I don't think there's six. How many stories are in here exactly? Five? Four? What do you got? One, two, three, four, five... Six. Yeah, there's six stories in here, and each one was done by an art crew that had worked on Flash. So it was all nostalgic and everything, and they had the Flash Forward guys doing the Wally West chapter. It was all right. It was good. I'm really looking forward to Jay Garrick. There's a whole section in here where they were talking about the Justice Society coming back, and there's this really nice little pinup. Like, look at this cool pinup of the two Teen Titans teams, right? The old and the new.
Yeah.
Right, and then there's a section in here where they've got a picture of the... of the Justice Society, and there's this really cool pinup here from Dale Eaglesham. Does he pronounce it Eaglesham or Eaglesham?
Don't know.
But
it's pronounced Dale.
Yeah, Dale. It's pronounced Dale. That Canadian guy named Dale, eh? And it's like I said, it's easy to make a good anniversary issue. Can they sustain it?
What's Green Lantern's at?
That's
Parallax.
Yeah, Parallax. Okay. Because they go through the Crisis on Infinite Earths, they go through Final Crisis, and you know they got all the stuff in here.
I guess 52. I'm the Final Crisis guy because you pointed at me when you said Final Crisis.
I just happen to know that you like Final Crisis, and when we talk about older stuff and we mention Final Crisis, you pay attention because you like Final Crisis. That's all. So yeah, the Flash.
As a non-Flash reader, is it good to pick up?
No, I think it might be lost.
Yeah, like it's not a good stepping stone into whatever's coming.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know how they have at the very beginning of the episode of the Flash TV show, it's like, I'm the Flash, I'm Barry Allen, I was a scientist, these are my adventures as I run and get coffee at Jitters. They kind of do something like that at the beginning of the book, so yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's not the best. Anyways, what else do you guys read? Do you guys read anything, or do I just carry on with the other two books I got? Batman number 90, Catwoman's Secret Will Tear Them Apart. So this is, again, James Tynion? I just can't pronounce anything.
Tynion.
The new writer.
The fourth. You keep forgetting the fourth.
The fourth, yeah. Yes. Why can't your name be, you know, Popolovsky or Mienzebrotsky? These things I can pronounce. I can pronounce those very easily, you know. Washevsky. Like, where's all the skis?
Who's the artist on that one?
This is, help me out here, Jorge Jimenez. Jorge Jimenez. And the art's fantastic.
Yeah, the art's pretty good.
There's some great pinup shots here of Batman and Catwoman and all this sort of stuff. Where's that one really, really wicked shot? But, that's not the one I was thinking of. But art's great. Story's going on. They're obviously setting this up for some kind of a Joker thing that's about to happen where the Joker kind of – there's that shot. Look at that.
Yeah.
Like that's – that's what you want to see in your, that's what you want to see in your premier Batman book that sells all the monies. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, because they're apparently, from what I've read in news, they've changed the origin slightly of the Joker. Some guy named the Designer had something to do with it.
Yeah, they're talking like this is literally talking about the Designer. I don't know if his origin changed per se, but basically, spoilers: the Designer is this guy who brought Catwoman, Riddler, Joker, and Penguin together, gave them some kind of a massive secret on how they can do these cool things. And what the Catwoman was told she can do came true. The Penguin, how he became mayor. So the Designer told him a plot on how he can become a mayor, and that actually came true. And the Riddler had something where he could take over all the electronics, and that came true. But then the Joker goes in to talk with the Designer.
Yeah.
and everything goes south and the whole thing goes nuts. So that happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So now apparently this designer's back, and it sounds like now it's Joker's turn for his deal with the devil to come through. So like the Joker was already the Joker when the designer was here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it really changed his origin, unless that's coming down the pipe, you know, maybe something else. But yeah, I think I can't remember what it's called. Joker War something. So just like the last thread was all about Riddler taking over Gotham, this next storyline is about the Joker. So
maybe we'll finally see the three Jokers that they've teased that before.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that they were talking about that and that it's not really going to happen quite the way they teased it.
Because
that's all like the original.
But like how long do you give a stupid storyline to come to fruition? Like when that was literally 5 years ago?
Well, the whole thing was, it was Doomsday Clock was supposed to fire off Legion of Superheroes, Justice Society, the three Joker storyline, a whole bunch of other storylines. Like this was all kind of Geoff Johns's, I'm the creative officer of the DC direction I want things to go in. And then he got busy making movies and he was just never around. So it didn't happen. And then when, you know, and like you said, all these kind of plot lines are getting abandoned, or Mr. Bendis came along and they're like, he's like, look, dudes, like, how long are you going to wait for Jones to reboot the
Dudes, I got exposition that's got to hit the page.
Come on now.
Give me some books.
Give me. You guys promised me X number of pages a month that I can overbill for, so.
He gets paid by the word.
Paid by the word, yeah, exactly.
Apparently Ma and Pa Kent are alive again, even though they died like 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm reading Superman. I didn't catch that, but maybe. Yeah, Bendis is doing his Bendis thing. He's bending things.
Bend it like Bendis.
Yeah, exactly. So is any of this stuff going to survive the post-Dan DiDio era, the post-Geoff Johns era? I don't think so. You said, it's been so long. So we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. You know what will happen is 20 years from now, some writer that is as good as Geoff Johns will pick up these threads and tell a story that'll make us in our 60s go, yes, finally, this guy's awesome. Digital only, beamed straight into our head by that point.
Yeah, it'll be called Joker Rebirth. The other comic book that I brought in was Billionaire Island from Ahoy Comics. As previously mentioned, the number of superhero comic books I'm reading is dwindling so fast. It's just scary. And I seem to be picking up a lot of books from Aftershock. The new artists with, artists, writers, and I can't remember. It's AWA Upshot is the acronym, just like DC means DC Comics, Detective Comics. And Ahoy Comics. Now, Ahoy's been around for a year or two, and they've had some pretty good books come out. The one where it was, I want to say Dragonfly, but that's the sidekick. Where it was kind of like a Batman 66 homage-y thing versus dark and gritty Batman. They published Second Coming from Mark Russell and Richard Pace. And this is Mark Russell's next book called Billionaire Island. And the whole plot behind this is that there's a kind of like a condo island that billionaires can move to because, you know, what's the line here? Despite what our friends in the fossil fuel industry have been telling Joe Q Cheeseburger for decades, we all know that climate change is real and happening fast. So you have to have $1 billion in your bank account to even tune into this TV channel to watch this commercial for this property and stuff. And it's gets set up where it's kind of like a revenge thing, and there's a guy who's stolen a billionaire's identity because he was done wrong by a billionaire, and he wants to get on the island and kill him and stuff. So it looks like it's a really, really good comic. And like I said, it was written by Mark Russell, the guy who did Second Coming. So it's a fun story. It seems to be pretty good. And it happened to win Sean's cover of the week at Grey Guardian Comics. Three of your comics in your pile are my favorite covers of the week. So, and this is one of them. That's pretty prestigious. Mm-hmm. That's pretty prestigious. Yep. That's better than runner-up. That's pretty good.
That's better than runner-up.
That's pretty good. So that's what I brought in this week anyways. I read a bunch of other things too, but I just didn't bring them in. So, yeah. Other than that?
I didn't read anything, but I brought something for... Okay, I am trolling you, Tony.
Okay.
I brought only Doctor Who related items. And this one's for Chris because we were talking about it last week on the show.
Oh, you actually have this graded.
Yeah, Doctor Who and the Daleks, CGC 3.5.
I have one or two copies of this. I can't remember, but not graded.
I picked that up from Paradise Comics on eBay for like $30 plus shipping.
That's good.
Yeah, it was a really great deal.
That's nice.
So yes, first it says first American appearance of the Doctor or something like that, which is kind of stupid.
Well, but was he in like a British
or first U.S.? Or? No, I think it says first. Does it say first U.S.?
First U.S.
And then the Marvel Premiere 57 says first American Doctor Who or something like that. Like it's they neither of them make sense.
No,
yeah. Your Christian photo cover, nice.
Yep, so that's pretty cool.
What is this? Is this is this actually Doctor Who? It's not like because Dell Comics, a lot of Dell Comics were like Dell Color Comics number 456 or something like this. Is this actually
you own it? So
no number.
I haven't been able to read it because mine's slabbed. You own it.
Well, if I'm going to the storage locker tomorrow morning to do some stuff. If I find my copy, I'll bring it in so you can read it.
I think it should be a retelling of the Doctor Who and the Daleks Peter Cushing movie.
I'm sure that's exactly what it is. Yeah. So. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. I wonder if it's been reprinted in anything. Maybe the Gold Key didn't do Doctor Who books, did they? No.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Off-white to white pages.
Yeah, it's first a little US appearance. A little beat up, but the price was right.
Yeah, no guff. Dick, I'm going to mess this up because I know I mispronounced this all through the 70s and 80s. I want to say Giordano, but I think it might be Giordano. Dick.
For what?
Big, massive DC Comics artist. They used to do all sorts of stuff for DC.
Well, it's a photo cover, so we can't see any of the art.
Dick Giordano. I'm going to say Giordano. I feel like if you're actually Italian, it would be something different. But
and I have one other cool Doctor Who thing: the Doctor Who annual from 1977.
Oh my gosh!
Picked that up on eBay for like $10, I think, and then like $10 shipping, coming from England.
Yeah. These annuals were something else. This was so much fun. We didn't do this in Canada. So anybody who doesn't know, unlike Marvel and DC comic annuals, the British ones were these hardcover books that came out once a year and kind of either reprinted stories that were in some of the British weekly comics or added arts and crafts and prose stories and I think, you know, like a maze or a crossword puzzle and stuff. And these came out once a year, nice hardcover, loads of fun.
It was a gift from Granny and Granddad.
Yeah. There you go.
I can't see what his name is.
Dwayne? Dwight?
Something. I can't.
Doesn't say like Harry or anything like that?
I don't know.
Charles? Doesn't say Charles, man?
To Prince Charles.
To Charles from Granny.
I know. I started flipping through it, and it's in really good shape, like, in the beginning. But then the farther back you get, like, they start to do the puzzles and stuff, whoever had this before. And, you know, because I was flipping through, and I'm like, oh, man, like, this is, like, mint condition in there. And then I'm like, oh, no, they did the crossword
in pen.
So, and, yeah, they wrote next to the pick a planet thing because it's got lots of little it's kind of aimed for kids, you know, because Doctor Who was a kids show.
It's an activity book,
but yeah, it's super cool. Some of these are fairly rare, just like also some of the Target novelizations are rare. I know there's a I believe there's a pink John Pertwee one that can go for like $500 or $600 bucks, so I would love to have all of these annuals someday. But for right now, it's just me and Tom Baker, 1977.
Now, they were released in Canada. There was a distributor who brought them into Canada on a regular basis. But whether he brought all of them in or not, I can't tell you for sure. But they were available. So you are going to find some randomly at like flea markets and antique malls and stuff like this. They're not just exclusively from England, so we're kind of fortunate that way. If you're an American collector, you're paying duties on that sucker. Excuse me. Well, is that it?
Not quite.
We got 5 minutes. We got a 3-minute outro. What are we doing for the next 2 minutes besides...
It's been a while since I talked about Arthur Adams.
All right, let's go.
March 10th, he has a new... I don't know what you want to call it, like a new book coming out based on the X-Men. So it's got all this different X-Men issues and covers and pages from the books and stuff like that. And it's a brand new cover and stuff. So apparently, according to chapters.ca, you can pre-order it and it's coming out on the 10th. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, so kind of like an encyclopedia type thing?
Kind of.
Going through his history and stuff and showing some...
Yeah, but it's focused on the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. Arthur.
Yeah.
Adams. As we fire up the Amazonia.
A lot of the guys in the States are already showing it on the Facebook page, so they must have got it early somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Something going on. Marvel Monograph, The Art of Arthur Adams, paperback?
Yeah. With the X-Men on the front,
yeah. $25.73 pre-order now, so that's not too bad.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. He's doing so many covers, I'm so far behind.
Yeah. Yeah. March 10th. 2020. So realistically, yeah, I could see this being.
Isn't that Wednesday or Tuesday? Yeah,
it's 4 days from now. So I can realistically see this being if you were a distributor or something like that, or a bookstore or something like that, you might have copies of it already for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. The price is right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Price is right. He's an amazing artist. There's so much detail in his work. It's just ridiculous. That's probably why he only does covers though, because you know. For him to keep a monthly schedule on a book, that'd be nuts.
Yeah. Somebody posted yesterday that they were at the Walmart in Edmonton, I think, and he found a t-shirt with an Arthur Adams. I didn't even recognize it. It was just a group shot of a whole bunch of different characters. I don't even recognize it, so I don't know if it's new or...
I had an Arthur Adams t-shirt that I bought at a comic shop before comic book t-shirts were like a really big, big thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say probably the Silver Snail in Toronto when they were on Queen Street is where I got it. But I wore that sucker in high school a lot.
Yeah. Was that the classic X-Men number one cover? Because I think I've got that t-shirt. It doesn't fit me, but I still have it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was pretty good, though. It was fun.
Yeah. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's putting out a lot of covers. Even that, there's a new book that came out this week about an academy, Strange Academy or something like that.
Yeah, Doctor Who has this academy thing and stuff.
Doctor Who?
So, yeah, he's...
Are you sure it's Doctor Who and not another
doctor? No, Doctor Strange, I said.
You said Doctor Who.
I got distracted.
Apparently Arthur Adams did a cover for that.
I got distracted.
Yeah.
I'm on medication. Leave me alone.
There you go.
Well, don't get distracted as you do the outro.
This has been the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, brought to you every Friday from Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFM, and also available as a podcast on Stitcher, Apple, Google, a bunch of other services. If you can't Google us and find us, there's no help for you. HeyKidsComics.ca.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFFM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?